Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere, it's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Vince Ellison, author of the book The Iron Triangle, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians and America in Their Quest for Power and How We Can Defeat Them. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up, because Vince is giving us some absolutely astounding information from inside the black community, inside the politics, inside the church, inside the political activists that are going on, and how they all work together for one thing: to do the bidding of the white Democrats to keep the black community in slavery, in poverty, and under their control. If you missed it, go back and catch up. Let's jump right back into the interview now with Vince Ellison.
The Democrats are the aggressors, but yeah. We right now are bystanders. And we have the ability to come in and help out. You know, you got a fight going on, right? Mm-hmm. One guy's just getting the mess beat out of him. And you're kind of standing there as a bystander. You have the ability to go in and help, but you just sat and watched him just get his brains beat out. Yeah. Now, you might think that the guy might jump on you if you help, but you're still just watching. And that's what we do, and that's what we're guilty of. And right now, as the left is spending all this money on Black Lives Matter, we have to start doing our part. Part of it is buying this book. So you will know what you're fighting.
Amen.
How to defeat them, and then go to war.
Well, you know, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. I mean, they've been speaking boldly, you know, about its support for, you know, pro-abortion rights, gay rights, and everything else that's anti-Christian in nature. Yet, that organization is supported by almost every single African-American church. Why would these pastors forsake God like that?
Because many of them never ever was with him. You know, we all know that Satan, how he works. He don't have to go to the streets anymore. He got the streets.
Yeah.
He goes into the church now. Jesus' last prayer before he went to the cross was for unity.
Yeah.
He talked to his disciples about the unity. And because he knew how he was going to come at us, how Satan was going to divide us. And he goes into the church and he grabs these young pastors and, you know, it started in the civil rights movement, Pastor Thibodeau. It's hard for me to say, but this is where my research took me. The Marxists and the communists that were involved in the civil rights movement, they went in, they infiltrated it, they took it over, matter of fact, they recruited Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Abernathy, Andrew Young. They recruited all of them, and they trained them at this school called the Highlander Training School up in the mountains of Tennessee. And it was a communist training school, just a straight-out period, it was. And when you start looking at some of the rhetoric that was used in the civil rights movement, you can see it was Marxist. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
They asked Larry King, what was his favorite interview out of all the thousands that he had done? And he said it was Martin Luther King Jr. in 1965. He said he was in Tallahassee, Florida, and he was going to integrate this hotel. And when the white clerk would not give him the room, they called the police, and King sat down and waited for the police in the doorway. And when the police officers came up, they asked him what he wanted. And King said, "I want my dignity." Now, I hate that story because it implies that you can get your dignity from another man, and you can't.
Right.
Your dignity is yours.
Amen.
They can't take it from you. You can give it away, but that'll be your decision to do it.
Yeah.
But they cannot give you your dignity. During the March on Washington, he said that 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. That is a lie. I was born free. But if you ask the black Americans right now, who gave you our freedom, close to 100% will say Abraham Lincoln, and they will not say Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, how do you think that make him feel when he say that he who the Son is free indeed?
Yeah.
I freed you. The truth will make you free, and I bring you the truth. He said, "Your freedom is an unalienable right given to you by God. It's irrevocable, non-transferable, and unsellable." He said that we come here to government to ask for our unalienable rights. Yep. Those rights come from God. Our whole system of government is based upon the fact that these rights That's come right. from God. It Amen. Comes from John Locke's Second Treaty of Government.
Yep.
When he said we were put here to do God's will.
Amen.
God made us all equal. And therefore, the king has no power over us. And that we have a right to preserve ourselves, our property, because to preserve ourselves means we're preserving ourselves to do God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You take away God, all that goes. And King
right.
says that we come to government for those rights. No. And it led black people down a primrose path.
Mm.
The black preacher telling us to no longer go to God, but go to government.
Yeah,
this is how
right.
we screwed mm. this thing up.
Big
and
time.
Now all of them want to be Martin Luther King Jr. And they're all preaching the same thing. Not God, but government. Not mm-hmm. God, but government. They don't teach forgiveness. The stuff happening in the street is not of God.
That's
all
right.
this looting and pillaging and killing. But yep. he told us to forgive. He demanded it.
Amen.
Forgive. You cannot be a victim and be a Christian.
Yeah, I grew up, you mentioned the civil rights movement. I grew up outside of Detroit in the 60s and 70s.
Mm.
And I remember the riots. And I remember a lot of racism or race problems. I remember the assassination of Robert Kennedy and, of course, mm. Martin Luther King Jr. And I remember most of that, even though I was only 9 or 10 years old at the time. The other day, Joe Biden was saying that the murder of George Floyd is even bigger than what happened to Martin Luther King. Did he say that just for political points, or was there something else behind that, like a coded message?
They want to make it that big because this mm-hmm. is their moment. They want to make it that big. They need a martyr. You know, they love martyrs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, George Floyd is dead, but what people need to understand is that what we saw happen to that man was a visual representation of what the Democratic Party has been doing to black people, especially black men, for the past 220 years.
Ooh,
George wow. Floyd's life is a microcosm of Democratic liberal policy in the city. First,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they helped destroy his family as a child. They broke up his mom and his daddy, probably paid his mom to leave his daddy. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
She took him, grew him up as a single mother in a housing project down in Texas, Houston. And what happened there? He grew up around crime, mm-hmm. violence, sent him to a public school that didn't give him an education. He left out when the college couldn't finish because he didn't have a good education. When he got to college, couldn't find a job. Got a life of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Arrested 4 or 5 times and finally got a long stint of 5 years in the penitentiary. He comes out of the penitentiary, a criminal now. Criminal, can't find work. They disarm him. He's walking around on drugs trying to pass a forged $20 bill because he can't work, don't have any money. They destroyed his life, the Democrat Party has. And then what do? They kill him. They
yeah.
kill him. They've done that to black men for 220 years in this country. And what mm-hmm. you saw happen to him was a visual representation of what they've been doing to my people
wow.
ever since they've been a party. And they have never existed. Well, they did not demand the legal right to commit murder, whether it was slavery from 1800 to 1860, the Civil War from 1860 to 65, Jim Crow from 65 to 1965, and now abortion.
Yeah.
They have never been in a position. They have to commit murder because they're a party of darkness.
Yeah.
And they're
amen.
Doing it still. And they're not going to stop until we make them.
You know, in the Iron Triangle, in your book, I mean, you call what... the Iron Triangle as a unholy trifecta. Can you explain that a little bit more detail to our listeners?
Yeah, they hide the origin of a lot of these elements in the black community. You know, they hold up the NAACP as some holy organization that's done all this great work, you know, for years. When you look at the actual results of these organizations, you see that the black community hadn't gotten any better behind any of them.
Right.
I mean, we did Brown versus Board of Education. They celebrated, but the schools have gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The schools are not integrated, so why are you celebrating Brown, right? The schools are not integrated, and the education system has gotten worse.
That's right.
But they celebrated. You know what I mean? It's all myth. It doesn't mean anything. They take the black preacher who's held up as this symbol of virtue, but everybody in the black community understands, and they've made jokes about this for the last 40 years, that most people see them as what they are, but charlatans.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at the condition of the people and know that it's true.
Yeah, amen.
So you look at the results, and you have to come away with the the fact that they're not pivoting and changing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're doing something wrong and you recognize that it's wrong, you say, okay, let's change this because it's not going wrong. But if you continue to do it consciously and knowingly, this is the result that you want. This is a carpet bombing. And the people on the ground and the people dropping the bombs see success very differently. The carpet bomber is trying to destroy. The people under the bombs are trying to survive. Mm. So what does the Democrat Party want? They want to bomb. They want control. They want to keep things exactly as they are. And when they look at their statistics, they're looking at them completely different than the way you and I look at them. Mm. We look at a school and say, well, this school is supposed to be producing people that can read, write, and go out and think and get a job. They said this school is supposed to produce slaves, people that cannot read, write, or take care of themselves. We say the family has to be sustained so that these young men can grow up strong and proud and raise their families and be able to defend their communities and defend their country. They say the black family has to be set up where the men are weak, where they're docile, where they are fighting one another, where they hate one another, and where they cannot destroy them, cannot take care of their families or protect their communities. We see it differently, but we don't know these people are our enemies. That's what the Iron Triangle does. It tells you that the, because they deflect so well. You know, they're trying to blame Donald Trump for 220 years of problems, right?
Yeah, right.
Trying to blame Trump. And because they get paid, they are the enemy, and they are, in many ways, they're as evil as they come because they are they have created a dystopia, and they're committing fratricide in the black community. And they know it, and they don't care. That's why I call them evil.
Well, you know, you got the, as you said, the black preachers and the political activists and all that. But now that, you know, the African-American community is sending a lot of representatives to Congress, you think that they would try and change what's going on rather than reinforce it. You know, why are we not seeing anyone try and change it from the top down?
It's just like the job of the House Negro was to keep the slave on the plantation. The House of the Black Caucus is to keep the slave on the plantation, period. Mm. And they believe that educating the slave will get him off the plantation. They believe that giving – look, they, after this COVID thing, they said – I think I heard a stat that said about 70% of black businesses went down the tube. And you saw black mayors and black city councilmen telling black people not to open up their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to catch COVID if you do it. Where all the white people are out there fighting to open their business up, they're telling them, no, don't open them, don't open them. Because back in the days of slavery and Jim Crow, when a black person left the plantation, got his own piece of land, and started trying to make it on his own, they would go out and they would poison his mule to put him back on the plantation. Mm. They couldn't allow one black person to get out. The ones that got out were the good ones. Same thing in the ghetto. Isn't it amazing that when we see a black child that gets out of the inner cities, we all celebrate because we know how difficult it is, instead of saying, well, he's supposed to get out. No, if you find out that he grew up in a housing project and he went to one of those inner city schools, and if he goes out and he's successful, he's held up like he's a demigod.
Yeah.
And all of these, and they know the government is designed to kill you. Mm-hmm. There's only three things government do well to their citizens: steal from them, incarcerate them, and kill them.
Wow.
That's all. Everything else, they are wholly inadequate, but they are prolific. You very seldom hear about an inmate escaping out of the penitentiary.
You very
seldom hear about the government not getting their tax money.
Yep.
And you very seldom hear about the government not being able to kill whoever they want to kill.
Yeah, yep.
They're good at that.
Anyone who does make it out, they start getting labeled, you know, Uncle Tom and all his other stuff.
Yeah. They got to put them down.
Yeah.
Because, see, their power does not come from us being powerful. Their power comes from them being powerful and us being weak. It's like the old Stalinist state.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the communists are. Castro and his boys lived well in Cuba.
Oh yeah,
and they're still driving cars that were made in the 1950s, man.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
Yeah,
his power is the only thing that matters. And the people in Cuba think we're the worst people in the world, the Americans. Yes, they think we're terrible. Yep. Same thing with the Iron Triangle. Yep. Same exact thing. If you want to think about the black community, think about Cuba. Think about Venezuela. Think about North Korea.
Amen.
It's the same system. dictator worship, it can control communication and education, and control the economy, keep the people. What it is.
You know, we see the attacks, you know, on anything conservative, and especially, you know, Christian conservatives right now. We see apology after apology being provided by all kinds of organizations, but yet it doesn't seem to sway anything. All it does is really incite more demands. But your book outlines how this has been the plan all along, right?
Yes, it has. The plan to me is so very obvious. I think that a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters see it. I think that they just didn't know how to combat it or understand how intricately it was put together. Mm-hmm. I wrote this book because so many of my friends would ask me the questions that you just asked me. Why do black people vote the way they vote for a party that is destroying them?
Yeah.
And when I came up with the cognitive dissonance and the Stockholm syndrome, and then I saw how the black pastors and the NAACP and Black Lives Matter, how they just completely influenced this. Even today, you know, they will tell them that they're victims, that they're hated, that they're despised, that they must ask man to affirm them, that they must ask man to give them their freedom. And you'll see grown men like me ask them, are you free? No, I'm not free. Mm. You know, I saw Colin Kaepernick and all those guys kneeling that year, about 2 years ago in the NFL, and I was confused about it because they were younger than me. And we were more American than these guys are. And I'm saying, what are these guys angry about? What is that beef?
Yeah.
And as I started understanding that, over on the left, the greatest form of citizenship you can have is not entrepreneurship. It's not building a – creating a family and taking care of it. No, no, it's protest.
Yeah.
If you want to become an icon, protest on the left.
Mm-hmm.
They hated Muhammad Ali when he was just a black Muslim. Mm-hmm. But when they saw that he was against Vietnam, they made him an icon because they martyred him. They took his belt. They tried to put him in jail. And they said, oh, now he's our friend. But they couldn't stand him when he was Muhammad Ali knocking out jokers before he turned against Vietnam.
Yeah,
the same thing with Kaepernick. Kaepernick was, there you go. Kaepernick was a second-string quarterback.
Yeah.
He was done. Career was over. And then he kneeled. And they said, now we can make him an icon. Sam's, the guy that played, that came out as gay and got into the draft, destroyed his career.
Yep.
They didn't care.
Yeah.
They did not care. He was protesting for them. Now let me and you protest for the right and see what we get.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to be called everything.
Yep.
But if you go out there with Black Lives Matter, there's an anti-gay, there's an anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-Western civilization, Marxist organization, and just because they have that name, they're fawning all over them, and the press is using them because the press says if they win, the Christians lose.
Yep.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's very simple.
Yep,
they hate us.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that this is a war, and if these jokers win, they're going to do what they did in Venezuela, North Korea, and Cuba.
Yeah.
They're going to take Christians,
line
them up against brick walls, and blow their brains out.
Yep.
That's who they are. And most people say, oh, man, you tripping. Yeah, you just taking it too far.
Yep.
All right. Yep. All right. That's what they want you to believe. And that's how they get you every time.
Yep. That's
how they get you every time. Making you don't understand how evil they are. And you don't believe they'll do what they did, what they'll do. And I'm telling you, that's who these people are. They will kill you. They don't play. And we need to understand that.
Yeah, that's true. They play for keeps, that's for sure. Now, as we get ready to close, briefly tell us what can be done to defeat this Iron Triangle and have an impactful conversation with someone who's been basically indoctrinated into this system of lies for their entire life.
The first thing I always ask a person that's on the left, actually, this one first simple question, are you a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time they say yes because 85% of black people say they're Christian, 75% of white people say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, then that means you're my brother or you're my sister in Christ. And they say, yes, I am. I said, and Jesus said that if you're an heir of Jesus Christ, can you be a victim? And that's when they stop.
Mm.
And then that's when the conversation starts. I said, didn't he tell you that you're mandated and obligated to forgive? Didn't he also say that you shouldn't be concerned about how man views you? And you should only be concerned about how he views you? Then why are you marching?
Mm.
Why are you out there tearing up stuff? Why are you concerned about how some so-called racist views you, because I don't care about how a racist views me. I don't care. A racist is an idiot.
Yeah.
He can't touch me.
Amen.
And so what do? There are three things that you do to inoculate yourself against racism. Racism to me is just like a disease, or just like the weather. You can't control it. So with a disease, you inoculate yourself. And with the weather, you build a shelter and put your possessions in there, because you don't know what it's going to be from day to day. Racism is the same thing. It's not that there is racism. It's how you respond to racism.
Yeah.
So what did you do? If whatever your faith, you practice it to its hilt. Christian, Muslim, Jew, be that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do next? You get yourself a job, a vocation, where you're so prolific at it that the color of your skin or your race is irrelevant. If you're a good cook, they don't care what your color. They're going to buy your food. If you're a good mechanic, they don't care your color. What's that old saying? If you're good at what you do, there'll be a hard beating pass through your door.
That's right.
Even if you reside in the woods.
Yep, that's right.
Get you that vocation and be prolific at it. Be the best at what you do.
Yep.
And then arm yourself. Arm yourself with knowledge. And arm yourself with a gun. So if you deal with an intellectual, you can outsmart him. And if you deal with a fool, you can deal with it. You can put him down.
Amen.
So that nobody can violate your unalienable rights that God gave you. Love everybody.
Amen.
Treat everybody with respect. But if they put their hands on you or slander you, you whoop them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was not a punk. He was not a punk.
That's right.
He got that cord. I love when he walked into that temple and he saw them. He saw the money changers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the scripture correctly, Jesus didn't say a word. Just started making that
That's
cord.
Right.
Just start tying the knots, and then he did a diversion. He knocked the tables over first, and when they went for their money, that's when he started whooping them. And while he was whooping them, he was talking to them. Didn't I tell you nothing?
Amen.
Don't come back anymore. And when he was going to Gethsemane that night, and he was still kind of wavering on this thing, he actually told his disciples, "You remember when I sent you out with script nor purse, and I told you not to take a sword?" And they said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if you got a sword tonight, bring it."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "We have two." He said, "That's enough. Come on." Because he thought they might have to get down that night. Nobody touched Jesus until he allowed it.
Allowed it. That's right. Amen.
Nobody touched him until he allowed it. So you walk around this earth protecting your property, protecting yourself, protecting your family. Pray to your God.
Yeah.
Pray to your God and you serve him. And then you get yourself a vocation where you are so good at what you do that they don't care the color of your skin. If when my air conditioner go out, I don't care what that HVAC man looks like. I don't care.
Amen.
I'm going to pay him what I owe him. We don't have to be friends when it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he does his job.
Amen. Amen.
And that's how we, and then you get good people around you, push bad people away, and enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Choose to be happy. Good God Almighty, man, life is beautiful. America's a beautiful country. You can have everything you want, but if you are around here complaining and being disturbed and always screaming about how others view you, you will always be in a tizzy. You'll always be angry. You'll always be upset, and your feelings will always be hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Let me tell your audience this before I go. White Christian conservatives, you have nothing to apologize for. Nothing. Everything that's wrong in the black community can be fixed in the black community.
Wow.
Go to my website. They are electing the people that are destroying their community, and they're going to elect them again. Go to my website, irontriangleboek.com. It is the antidote. This guy wrote me a letter, and he said, "Mr. Ellison, I took your book to an Antifa meeting and used it as kryptonite. I shut it down."
Amen.
This is a white guy.
Amen.
I said, "Man, I wish I could have been with you." Yes, sir. He said he took it to an Antifa meeting and shut it down. That book is kryptonite. It's kryptonite to the Black Lives Matter people. It's kryptonite to Antifa. It's kryptonite to everything on the left, because we go right back to the jab. We go right back to Jesus Christ. And when you go to Jesus Christ, you can't be defeated. You cannot be defeated.
That's right. Amen.
Cannot.
Praise God. Vince, I appreciate your time. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, you got the website, irontrianglebook.com. Is there any other way that they can get in touch with you, maybe to ask you to come speak at a conference or anything like that? How can they do that?
Yes. They can go to irontrianglebook.com. There are comments there. They can leave letters. Okay. They can leave comments. They can leave information. and I'll get right back to them.
Amen, amen. You also have a Facebook page for the book as well, correct?
Yes, Facebook. Just go Vince Ellison or put an iron triangle and take you to Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Twitter at Vince E. Ellison.
All right.
And you'll find me on Twitter.
Amen. Folks, this book, The Iron Triangle, it is a must read. I mean, it was inspired by God in the heart of Vince Ellison well before this pandemic and then these riots and protests even took hold. God knew this book was going to be needed for such a time as this. You need to get a copy. If it was so important, God had already preordained this book to be launched at this time, you need to get two or three copies and pass them out. This book is going to explain everything. Everything about what's going on. We just glossed over the surface right now. I mean, you can see it on the news every night, and now you will know the facts of what is actually stoking the fire. Go down to the show notes, order your copy today, get it, read it, understand it, and let's begin the process of having an enlightened discussion with those that are being deceived by the lies they've been told for generations. Vince Ellison, thank you again for coming on the program and sharing this very important, very needful information with us. And thank you for publishing this book for such a time as this.
Pastor Thibodeau, it was my pleasure. And I really had a great time talking to you and your audience. God bless you. And
you
we're going to get
sir.
Through this. And we're going to come out stronger.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Vince Ellis, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.